Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started. I'm really enjoying the episodes where I interview some of my matchmaking clients. And today we have a lovely gentleman named Trey, who has agreed to come on the podcast and just talk about himself, what he's looking for in someone, and a little bit about the matchmaking process so far. So welcome, Trey.
Thank you, Lori. Happy to be here.
So let's just start with general things. Tell us your age, what you do for a living, if you've ever been married.
Sure. So I am 29, almost 30. I have not been married. Been single and dating kind of my whole life, back and forth, but haven't had a serious relationship for a little while, probably since COVID started. In terms of what I do, I work in the sports field in television and broadcast technologies, doing engineering and system designs for pretty much all of the major sporting events that you watch on television.
And you and I sat down at Caribou Coffee a bunch of weeks ago and just kind of had an honest and open and raw conversation about kind of where you're at mentally now and kind of where you'd like to be in terms of your relationship status. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, why did you decide to hire Carolina's Matchmaker?
It's kind of interesting, right? You know, 30-year-olds or 29-year-olds even, they don't usually run to a matchmaker to be kind of their first source of figuring out a long-term relationship. And transparently, you know, I've had a couple of relationships that I thought were going to be long-term and they've ended for one reason or another. And I tried the dating apps and wasn't super successful on them. But also when I did go out on dates with some people from there, it was very, usually turned out to be opposite of what they were saying on the app is kind of what they were looking for. And, you know, transparently, I'm busy. I work a lot. I travel a lot for my job. Thankfully, a lot less than I have been in the past. And I think when you and I met a couple of weeks back at Caribou Coffee, I was at a place where I was, you know, really setting some ground roots in the Charlotte area and trying to say, you know what, this is kind of where I see myself settling for a while. Work isn't traveling me as much, and the part of my life that I can focus heavily on at this point is the relationship side.
How's it going so far?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been great. I think, you know, I probably sent you a couple of messages about a week or so ago when we were talking about setting up this podcast, and you know, you've set me up on some wonderful dates. You've let me meet some wonderful people. I think, you know, everybody has that person that's out there somewhere. And, you know, whether or not I've found that through you guys at this point, probably not yet. But at the same time, everything towards how it's been going and the track looking forward speaks volumes towards the fact that I think, you know, working with you guys, I will one day. And, you know, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, me too. And really, part of the purpose of this podcast, and I'm going to be sending this out to, you know, the women in your age range.
Great.
via a newsletter. I mean, obviously all this we discussed ahead. is what I kind of love about this idea. And I haven't seen any other matchmakers doing it. So it's unique to Carolina's Matchmaker, as far as I know, is I'm going to send this podcast out. And it's almost as if the women have gone on the first date with you, because I'm going to about to ask a bunch of sort of deeper questions. They'll get a sense of you and like what you're all about. And then they get to decide, I wonder if this guy could be good for me. And then they're going to reach out to me. They're going to respond to the newsletter and say, I think I might want to meet him. And then we'll screen them out and see, you know, could they be a good match for you based on what we know about you so far? You know, maybe we'll pop them on your queue and we'll consider them for a future date. So women, anyone out there that's listening to this podcast and you think Trey could be an interesting match for me, message me. You could message me on, DM me on any of my socials or send an email to me, either reply back to this, to the newsletter that you're reading, or just reply to Laurie, Laurie at carolinasmatchmaker.com. It'll be in the show notes. So let's get started.
Fun. Let's see where this goes. I will say this is different for me. I'm so used to always being behind the camera and right. The one asking the questions. Sitting on this side, it's very uncomfortable. I now understand how some of the people I work with feel. It is something that I'm not used to, but I'm excited to see how this all goes.
It's just fun. You know what? It's something it's different. That's kind of what I love about this. And people love going on dates and blind dates through Carolina's Matchmaker, even because it's something unique and it's different than anything that they're doing, and potentially it could work. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you were raised and about your family of origin?
Raised in the Washington, D.C. area, Northern Virginia, to be a little bit more precise.
Okay.
When I was growing up, it was me, my brother, my dad, and my mom. And, I'm very close to my family. Unfortunately, when I was 7, my dad passed from a brain tumor. And I kind of at that point fell into working and trying to help my mom with the house and take care of things, as best I could. So, as much as my mom tried to give me a very established and normal childhood, it was kind of a little bit everything but that. But then, my mom got remarried to my stepdad, who that her and him are still married today, and he brought in two stepsisters as well. So I am now no longer the oldest. I was then the second oldest in the family, and then have two younger siblings.
Okay, wonderful. And I know you and your mom are super close still.
Yeah, no, definitely a little bit of a mama's boy. Definitely, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but her and I talk almost once a day, maybe twice a day, depending.
Yeah.
She's definitely been a rock in my life. And, I value a lot of the attributes that I have as an individual and as an adult towards what she's taught me. At the same time, we are very different. So yeah. it is kind of funny how the two of us are so close, but yet so separate and different.
Well, I love that. And I think it is a good thing to be a mama's boy in one sense, in that you respect women and you understand from what you just shared about your dad. And I'm so sorry about that. So sad. Is that you stepped up to the plate and you did what you needed to support your mom and your sibling. And then when, the stepfather came into the picture, you were able to relax around, maybe all that responsibility and be able to be a kid again. But that's a lot of responsibility sometimes.
I definitely wish I relaxed. I think if you ask anybody in my family, they would tell you the opposite. And it didn't really make me relax at all. But yeah, I think the bad things that happen in our life in the moment are very tough and very, trying.
Yes.
But are also a very good growth experience. And, as much as I don't wish anybody losing a parent or losing a friend or anybody in their life, you can kind of choose to let it hinder you or let it strengthen you. And I think I took it towards the strengthening side. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think I'd be in the position I'm in today at the age that I'm in had it not happened. At the same time, there are definitely some days where I wish it didn't.
Yeah, well, for sure. And you're a responsible person also as a result of that. And people could go in two different ways, and you sort of came out on top in that manner. Great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Tell me about your friends, your social circles.
Yeah, so I have kind of friends in all different facets of life or different industries. I would say the majority of the people that I hang out with or that are friends of mine or, also working in the same field I am, we don't get a lot of breaks, unfortunately. So we try to associate and intermingle with the people that are closest to us. And, we spend 10, 15 hours a day sometimes when we're at some of these events together. So it works out pretty well. But yeah, in terms of like friends and you know what I enjoy kind of doing with them, you know, ultimately I have some of my friends from college, I got my friends from work, I have my friends from when I used to live out in Las Vegas, I have friends from when I lived down in Savannah, Georgia. Like I've moved a lot for work and just for different experiences in my life to kind of
Yeah.
well-round me as a human and as an adult. And I've been able and fortunate enough to make friends in a lot of those areas, even internationally, with some of the traveling I've done for my job personally.
I love it. Where did you go to college, by the way?
So yeah, so I started off at the University of Maryland for 2 years, and then changed my major. I was originally a journalism major, but always knew I wanted to be behind the camera, not in front of it. So again, this is different for me. But changed my major then to communications, with a specialty in electronic media production and engineering, and then finished up at High Point University in High Point, North Carolina.
Okay, nice. So what does like a typical evening look like for you or when you're off work?
Yeah, so unfortunately, working in sports never stop. I was actually looking at a calendar of all of these different leagues that we have in North America and trying to find, okay, when is my downtime that I'm able to take a vacation or, you know, go do something. And unfortunately, all of the leagues overlap and they cover all 12 months of the year, but I still do manage to get away. I prioritize my own personal life and a good work-life balance. You know, have every intention, as you and I discussed a couple of weeks back when we first met, of prioritizing a relationship or a girlfriend, and you know, when it all comes down to it, prioritizing a family or a wife at that point. Right now, you know, if I'm out with somebody, even though I'm supposed to be reachable, I'll have my work phone, but I'm not checking it regularly. I'm not living on it. Once kind of 5 or 6 o'clock rolls around on an average day, I'm either, you know, going out with friends, doing something, or, you know, going to a movie, going to a concert, or even, you know, I love to cook, so I invite people over to the apartment, and you know, we have kind of get-togethers over here, and you know, I'll spend the day probably taking off work around like 2 or 3. So hopefully my employer's not watching this, but taking off work around 2 or 3 and just start food prepping in the kitchen and, you know, cooking a lot for the people that are coming over, and we'll do like a game night or something. Just enjoy kind of a quiet evening at home.
That is so fun. I mean, to me, those are the best nights. So much better than going out in South End or doing, you know, something where there's just people, all that energy around you, just really hunkering down and having a nice meal with friends and playing games. My favorite thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's something to be gained from both, right? There's, you can, when you go out into the South End kind of crazy environment and, you know, you're with people that, you know, I used to be young a long time ago, but I can't keep up with them anymore. And when you're doing that, you kind of feel back in the heyday, I guess, right? Kind of back in the times of being able to go out and stay out as late as you want and not have a worry in the world about what the next day holds in store. But then, you know, there's the game nights at home with friends and couples, you know, some, because a lot of my friends are married or dating. And you know, those are a lot of fun as well. You learn more about people in the quiet moments than you do in the loud environments.
And what do you like to cook?
Oh, everything. I mean, my uncle was kind of a savant in the kitchen. So when, you know, my dad passed and I was spending a lot more time with like my extended family, he started teaching me how to cook from the age of 7. So, you know, I've been very good at cooking. I love cooking. I take over the family holiday feasts. I'll cook them all by myself and kind of let my mom and grandmother kind of sit to the side and just enjoy life because they do too much as it is. And then so yeah, so any type of food really. I enjoy grilling, smoking, and then now I just started getting into baking as a little bit of a hobby as well. So now I'm learning how to bake, which I realize there's a lot more science behind baking than there is behind, you know, putting stuff in the oven and cooking it as a meal.
You're like a true engineer.
I have a bit of the nerdy side for sure, but that gives me, it's a little bit of solace, right? Because you know, when you're cooking with, you know, raw food, or you're cooking and you're baking and there's stuff all over the place, you're not getting on your computer, you're not getting on your phone, you're
Yeah,
not
you're present.
you are inherently present in the moment, so it allows you to kind of live a little.
I just absolutely love that. Do you have music in the background? What kind of music do you like to listen to?
It depends on the mood.
Yep.
I mean, I can kind of listen to everything. I'm not a huge jazz fan, to be completely honest. That's probably the one genre that I just don't
Come
actively
on,
choose to
it's
listen
okay.
to. My palate might refine a little as I get older, but for right now, it's not my first choice. But country, classic rock, pop, more recent stuff. Not huge on rap, but I'll listen to it, right? It's not my first go-to, but if I'm with friends that like it, which a lot of mine do, oh, I'm not going to complain. And then having lived out in Vegas, the whole electronic music scene and everything, I used to work in that field for a while, so I have some friends that still do it, and at that point, I try to listen to their stuff every now and then.
Nice. I love it. So I know that sort of going through this dating process with Carolina's matchmaker sort of taught you and sort of probably refined your idea in terms of your search for your perfect match. So at this stage, what kind of a person are you really seeking?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. I think when I sat down with you a while back, there weren't many parameters that were set in terms of kind of, okay, how do we get started here, right? It wasn't like I came in knowing I want this type of person, this type of personality, that so on and so forth. And I think you guys have done a phenomenal job with kind of finding people of all facets, of all, types of life, and allowing me to try to refine that a little bit more. I think at this point, I'm very happy with the life that I'm living, but I also recognize that, life in general is it's a giant road trip, for lack of a better way of putting it. And while sometimes I like to sit in the car, turn off the music, and be in silence and just drive, it's a lot more fun when you have somebody in the passenger seat and you can, vibe with somebody else. So I'm looking for that kind of like extroverted person that knows how to have a good time, but also is able to sit in a house and just watch a movie. We don't always have to be going out, don't always have to be doing something, but if we both want to, we can. So I think
So,
that's really, it's personality more so than anything else for me, really. I don't have a type, so to speak, right? I know people sit
yeah.
around and say they have types. I don't think I have. It's more just trying to understand the personality and exactly how they like to live their life.
So, when you say extroverted, do you mean extroverted in terms of people who get their energy from other people, or do you mean sociable and bubbly? Because it
I think it's more social battery rather than interactions with people. I think,
Okay.
my line of work, I'm, going to events, going to functions, going to, rub elbows with people that I'm going to be working with or that I'd like to sign on to work with me. And, having somebody to be going through that with me that has the social battery to be able to do events like that. But then also, when that battery is drained, know, okay, it's time to relax, it's time to recharge, it's time to decompress. It's somebody more so that's secure in themselves and knows just how to be kind of that social butterfly, but also feels comfortable in the fact that we can be secluded if necessary.
So for people out there listening, if you're not an extrovert, I don't necessarily think that you wouldn't possibly be a match for Trey, just as long as you're open to going to events and you're not like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. Just somebody who's open to going to events, somebody who's secure, who can keep their own. I mean, I know tons of couples who one person's extroverted, one person's introverted, it works. But the introverted partner is okay with going to different functions and whatnot. They might go and in the car say, how long do we need to stay there? As
Yes,
long
for
as
sure.
they're okay while they're there, it could still work. So that's me playing a little bit of devil's advocate. Okay.
No, I think, that's a good way to put it. And the fun thing about my job is, like, these events aren't like the corporate boardroom events. We're talking about concerts, football games, like
Exactly.
suites at a stadium to go just like intermingle with people that we work with. We're talking about things that a normal 25 to 40 year old is going to be doing on their own anyways, and would probably have to pay to do.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I get the opportunity to be able to go to a lot of that stuff myself. So for work, for, you know, personal use as well. And I do want to make sure that it's understood. We're not talking about boardrooms, black ties, and anything else. Like, these are fun events, thankfully. Happy hours, yeah. So to speak.
Oh yeah, so fun. There's so many neat things that come along with your work. So what is your love language?
So I'm a gift giver. It's a pro and a con, I guess you could say. I definitely like to get to know somebody well enough and deep enough that I can come up with an idea of a gift that they might not have even thought for themselves, right?
Right.
So gift giving is a big one. Quality time is huge for me. I think, you know, I want somebody that I can just spend some time with. I want somebody that, you know, on the drop of a hat, we could say, you know what, let's go travel. Let's go do something. Let's go to a movie and spend that time together. And I think, you know, those are really the two biggest ones for me. I think, you know, acts of service and words of affirmation are also big, but mm-hmm. for, you know, if we're going to say top two, it's definitely me giving gifts. I'm terrible at receiving them, to be completely honest. And then also quality time.
Nice. Love that. What is like the best advice that anyone has ever given you?
I think, you know, the whole road trip analogy. So I have a mentor that was friends with my first dad as well before he passed, and who I kept up with. I think he also recently passed away as well. He was in his like 80s or 90s. He'd been married twice, I believe, but the analogy that he gave me was, he said, you know, I've been married twice. I messed up on the first one, and I was never as lonely in life as I was in between those two, in between mm-hmm. the first marriage and the second one. He goes, you know, life is like a road trip. While you can do it alone, you will have a lot more fun, a lot more success, and a lot more desire to move and progress if there's somebody with you. So that was kind of probably the best piece of advice I got as a young adult. This was maybe 5-10 years ago. And then also probably from a friend of mine, you know, who just recently got married. They told me, you got to understand and surround yourself with people that know you deserve to be loved, and that aren't trying to benefit themselves at your expense. And I think I did a terrible job early on about following that advice. And part of the reason I'm here is to try to act on that.
Yeah. I love it. And you know, it's interesting you say that, because people will hire me and say, you know what, I wasn't making good choices before. Like, I want you to be the picker. My picker's off. I've heard that a multitude of times. And it makes sense, you know, because when you're in the thick of it, you can't always see, you know, if you're like super attracted to somebody, you may not see sort of the red flags that are popping up or whatnot. And you have to go through those experiences in life. And it's fine that you did. You were in your 20s, didn't work out. But now it's kind of like the process that we do with screening women out for you is so helpful, because you walk into the first date and you know that sort of the same moral and ethics that you have will be present in your, you know, in your date. So it just, it makes a lot of sense to look at those foundational elements. This is a funny question, but I don't know. I think it could be interesting. What is something that I wouldn't guess about you? Maybe it takes me 6 months to learn this about you, or something along those lines.
So yeah, I mean, transparently, and for people listening, obviously you sent me a little list of questions, not all of them, obviously, because we've gone down some rabbit holes already that weren't initially discussed, but this is one of them. This one threw me a bit for a loop, because I'm really an open book. I kind of like to share everything. I don't try to keep anything hidden. I've made the mistake in the past about trying to put up that armor, that guard, so to speak, and, you know, not be as vulnerable as possible. And it's just not beneficial. But I think if there's anything that probably people who know me well would already know, but people who are just getting to know me would never expect. It's probably the fact I personally hate reading. Like, I can't. I'm a movie and motion type of guy. Like, I can read a book, and if I, you know, if I focus on it well enough, or if I'm listening to a book on tape, I can get that like kind of movie in your mind, so to speak, what people say. But if you put down a book that has like 100, 200, 300, 400 pages or more in front of me, that book will gather dust before it sees its ability to move off of that desk or wherever you placed it. You know, I hate to say it like that, because I try to come off as intelligent and well-educated, and, you know, I am, but in terms of reading, it's not my thing.
Yeah, totally. I love it. All right. A few more questions. Do you want to get married and have children?
Yeah. I mean, marriage is 100% kind of the goal. Right. Yep. I think that's why I reached out and started working with you guys, is to find somebody who also is around my age and, you know, around the values and morals and ethics that I like to instill in myself and kind of the people around me. But that is also open to marriage. So I think that is very much the goal. In terms of kids, you know, personally, I definitely see myself, you know, having children or being involved in like a YMCA or a Big Brother, you know, type of program, or, you know, coaching a little league team, like that type of stuff is something that I definitely would like to do in my life. But I'm not sitting around ruling people out from dates or from, you know, your matchmaking service, even because they don't want kids, if that makes sense. Like, I think there's plenty of ways that I can find that fulfillment without having children, even though I think at this point that would be kind of something I'm looking for as well.
Okay. And what about if they already have kids from a previous marriage? Would that work?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't bother me. I think, you know, everybody has history. Everybody has stuff that they've been through in life. Everybody has, I don't want to call a kid baggage, because it's not a baggage at all. It's a wonderful, actually, thing to enjoy and, you know, be a part of their life. But, you know, everybody has their history, right? That's why it's history. And, you know, if it's amicable, if it's not something that's, you know, a battle 24/7, if it's something that, you know, they're willing for me to be in their life with their child, then obviously they have that trust and that love for me. And there's no reason for me not to have the trust and love for them and the kid as well.
You're a really mature 29-year-old.
Yeah, thank you. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it difficult to date in my age range.
Well, it leads me to ask the question, what age would you date up to?
I don't think I have an answer for that, to be completely honest. I think, you know, I'm going into be 30 in the next month or so. And, you know, once you kind of hit that age, kind of is, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's just really a number. I think it just depends on how the person, whether they're older or younger. I mean, there's plenty of very mature 23, 24, 25 year olds. There's plenty of very active 35, 36, 37, 38, 40 year olds, right? Like, it's just how they carry themselves in life that matters most, how they carry themselves in their day to day, how they're, you know, what they enjoy and what type of personality match it would be. But in terms of like top end, I don't really know if I've experienced something that would be too far, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. And two more questions, and then we're going to, I mean, this could go on all day.
We could go on forever if we really felt like it. So it's a good time. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. And by the way, this is definitely the type of thing I do when I'm screening somebody out, when I'm, you know, first working with someone, is I really get to know them well so that I make great matches, my team and I. What religion were you raised with, if any, and what are you open to?
Yeah, so I was raised Catholic pretty much my whole life. We joke, my grandmother on my mom's side actually was almost became a nun, and then she ended up leaving, and then her and my grandfather got married, and obviously that started the whole family tree where I am now. But so my family is very religious, pretty much. It's kind of where that story goes, right? I myself am more faith-based rather than assigning a single denomination. I think, there's pros and cons to every denomination that exists. There's the positive side of it, which is obviously the faith aspect, and then there's the negative side of it, which comes down into the bureaucracy and politics and other things around various religions, especially in the Catholic Church as well. So, from my perspective, I'm open to all religions. I've studied all religions as just part of a self-growth type of mentality. And, if the person I'm with wants to raise kids in a singular denomination or in a certain, practice of faith, I'm not opposed to joining or being present for that as well.
Okay, perfect. By the way, for those of you out there wondering, Trey is 5'11".
Yeah,
Hard to tell when he's sitting down.
it's a big chair. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. And how far-reaching would you go? Where in the Carolinas would you date? If I said I've got a match for you in Charleston, if I have a match for you in Raleigh, would you travel? Would you?
I don't think I'm opposed to distance. I think the problem is that, it in the early stages of a relationship is very difficult. In a more mature, understood, developed relationship, if somebody has to move away or something, it's a lot easier to say, okay, I have that trust built in already. I have that understanding, that connection already established. I'm not opposed to starting something with somebody who's a little bit further out there, but at the same time, with quality time being one of my bigger love languages, it would be a little bit more difficult, and it would be something that we would have to figure out how we would make it work.
Yeah, totally. Is there anything political? Let's talk political affiliate. Like, not, I'm not going to ask you what your affiliation is because I don't think that's important
No.
as much as are what are you open to in terms of, your future match? What are you looking for?
I like headstrong people, but I also like people that are willing and able to have the debate,
Okay.
willing and able to have a conversation, and willing to understand that regardless of one's political ideology or one's voting history or whatever you want to call it, that doesn't define the person as who they are, right? That they could be voting for a various number of reasons. They could be voting on a singular topic, they could be voting on financial reasonings, on moral and ethical reasonings, on, not wanting to be a part of war or wanting to be a part of war, not wanting to be a global entity or wanting to be a global entity. There's plenty of reasons to cast your vote one way or the other. And the problem, unfortunately, with our two-party system is we only have two options. We don't have a viable middle ground, so to speak. And unfortunately, a lot of people my age judge you based off who you voted for and judge your character based off of who you voted for, and aren't willing to look at maybe the reasons or discuss the reasons for why that is. And
Yep.
that goes on both sides of the aisle. It's not a conservative or liberal thing. It's honestly just a flaw of society nowadays, I guess you could say.
100%. You know what? And I couldn't agree with you more. This is lovely. You're an amazing guy. I am so excited to see who
Well, thank you.
won this and see who your next match will be. So, is there anything else to wrap up? Anything I haven't asked you?
I think, we covered the
Yeah.
majority. I mean, I think people
I
got a
agree.
decent understanding of who I am and why I am the way I am. I think if nobody could tell, my sense of humor is a little bit dry and a little sarcastic. So
Yeah.
I apologize in advance, but I also want to make it known I know where that line is, right? There's a lot of people who say I'm sarcastic but don't understand
Yeah.
the line and not to cross it. There's 100% a line in the sand. And while you might dip a toe onto that line, that's not something that you're ever supposed to cross. And
Yeah.
I hold myself to that standard at the bare minimum.
For sure. Well, it was lovely speaking to you, Trey, and seeing you as always. And we will be in touch soon.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.